Glory to God.
Yes.
Amen. I was coming over here. My wife told me. She said, honey, she said, did you know that Turkey has got a sedative in the meat that can put you to sleep? I'm getting ready to make a point here. Amen. In just a few minutes, we're going to see who the turkeys are. Oh, hallelujah. Well, glory to God, it's wonderful to be full of beef and unbelief, eh? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you for coming this afternoon, being the house of the Lord with us. Amen. Appreciate the good crowd, all the preachers. Amen. Good to see all the ministers here. Amen. The gospel. And wonderful to be in. Get to just to drive up and see the inside of your new church is wonderful.
Yeah.
Amen. Beautiful. Just beautiful. And I know you appreciate having just a wonderful place to worship this afternoon.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Appreciate Brother Savage and Sister Savage so much. Wonderful, great people.
Yeah.
One of the most successful ministries in America in the holiness people is Brother L.D. Savage.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Wonderful man of God. Amen. Known him for many years, and I always enjoyed being around Brother and Sister Savage. All right, turn with me this afternoon to 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. Praise the Lord. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. All right, you can be seated. Unless you want to stand for me while I'm preaching. It'll be all right. Honey child. Well, nobody dreams like Brother Ralph Horton. Brother Ralph is a dreamer. I'm telling you, ever since I got saved and got in the Horton family, Brother Ralph won't hardly even buy a car if he don't have a dream. And I mean, that's right. When mine just chokes up three or four times like a Chevy and just dies on the side of the road, it's time to trade.
That's right.
That's all right. Don't want to get none of this Chevy Ford North South stuff going, you know. But Brother Ralph is he is absolutely touched by dreams he has, you know. Just dreams all the time. And me, I've been always the opposite. I hardly ever dream because I hardly ever sleep. I've had insomnia most of my life. The Lord must hate me or something, I don't know, but... I don't sleep very much at all. And when I do, I don't sleep very long. At a time I'm real light sleeper, anything just makes me wake right up. I just can't do that, Brother Gary. That's just not my deal. But I had a dream. September the 8th of this year, I had a dream. And I'm going to preach my dream to y'all. And I it was so real, and one of the most real dreams I ever had in my life. And I woke up crying and screaming out of my dream. I couldn't believe it was so real that I couldn't believe I was in bed and it was just a dream. That's how real it was to me. God appeared unto Solomon in a dream, and I believe it'd be all right if he does the same to me. So I want to tell you my dream, and then I'm going to preach to you about my dream. I dreamed that this board come to me, and they were reassessing medical malpractice. And my wife was operated on in 1982 in Johnson City Hospital, and she was butchered up pretty bad, and she was just a very young woman. And so this guy said, he said, I know, he said, we're going over cases that even though they're past the statute of limitations, he said, we've been chosen by a special board to go over it looks like medical malpractice. He said, it looks like your wife suffered one of the worst. Well, I said, well? And he said, well, he said, here's what we want you to do. He said, we want you to go in front of this board and you tell your wife's story. I said, well, I'll do that. So after he left out of the dream, I looked over, me and Deborah were together, and I said, okay. I said, babe, I said, I think that all these years of preaching, been preaching now going on 37 years, I said, my preaching abilities will help me present your case to the board. So it come up the day I was supposed to go before this medical malpractice board, and the guy that I seen in my dream, he come out and he got me and he said, here's the deal. He said, they're in here and they're ready and they want to hear your wife's story about her sickness and everything. So I went in and there was a panel sitting up on a, like a judge stand, like something like this right here, and they all were in seats. And the guy got up and he told them about my wife. And he said, we're here, he said, to a select group to hear these medical malpractices, even though the statute of limitations has run out on it. So I got up and said, this is Mr. Roberts, her husband. He is going to tell about what all his wife went through. Well, I got up and I wanted to get anointed. And I could pace in front of them, and I started telling them. And I had all the hand movements there, and I was doing pretty good, you know. And I got up in the board's face, and I told them about how she had suffered over the years, and how she had cried, and how she had been humiliated, and just telling exactly what happened. Well, I got done, and I went outside, and the fellow that had presided over the meeting and appeared in my dream the first time come to me. And he came outside and he said, Mr. Roberts, he said, it's the most unusual thing. He said, this board was so touched by your presentation about what happened to your wife. He said, we have chosen to award you $52 million. So I was, you know, I said, I just overwhelmed. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. All of a sudden, you know how maybe sometime in your life when you just absolutely wasn't aware of anything, somebody jumped out on you and scared you? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I was out like that, and all of a sudden, the presence of God just overpowered me. God's presence just overpowered me. And the voice of the Lord spoke to me in that dream. And he said this, how are you telling my story? And that's what I want to preach this afternoon. How are we telling the story? Brothers and sisters, this afternoon I'd like to lay down a mandate, and I would like to lay out a challenge to this church. Amen, that we were all called by salvation to tell His story. Amen, this is not about us. This church is not about us. This church is about Him. The work of God is about Him. Amen, this is His life. We were called to tell the story. Hallelujah. Could you say amen? Every one of us, my God, were called to tell the story. Hallelujah. Every one of us, amen. Let me tell you this afternoon. You wasn't called to make billions. You wasn't called to ranch. You wasn't called, amen, to work secular. We were called, amen, by divine grace to tell a story. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, help me this afternoon. God, help me to challenge somebody this afternoon to leave this church house and get on the, off of their seat and tell the story. I remember I read many, many stories about the Jews in the concentration camps.
And here's what they all said. One reason that they wanted to leave. They said, we want to go through the Holocaust. One reason the Jews did anything they could so they could live. Amen. Was simply this. They said, we want to live so that we can tell the story. Oh, God, have mercy. Amen. Oh, church. Amen. That's why God called us. Amen. To tell a story. I want to preach to you this afternoon. How are you telling the story? Huh? Amen. We got to get the story out, church. Amen. Somebody's got to tell the story. Amen. Oh, God, we're all called to do it. Amen. How are you going to do it? Amen. I remember taking a political science class, and in it they had a Hitler showing a speech of Hitler.
Oh, brother, sister, I'm going to tell you something.
I'm going to tell you how Nazism got started is because Hitler told his stories. I doubt if you have ever seen. They showed Hitler in it. A film behind that desk, he whipped that crowd into a frenzy. Amen. The reason that Nazism took out to take the world is because they had somebody up there telling a story. Amen. He shook that crowd until thousands stood and they hollered, "Hail Hitler! Hail Hitler!" Brother, sister, can I tell you something? We are evidence witnesses of a Christ, amen, that ought to be praised and worshipped and in public. There's been a lot of talk. Could you turn me up just a little bit? Ever who's turning, turn. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. This will keep me from preaching myself to death. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. There's been a lot of talk here this afternoon about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why? What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? I said, help God tell. Amen. Amen. Nothing more than that you could tell the story. It's not a personal thing where you can just get happy, amen, over some corner and kick your legs and throw your hands. It is to witness, amen. It is to tell his story. My friend, that is why God baptizes people in the Holy Ghost, so that we could tell his story. That's it. Amen. Oh. Nazism had its story to tell, and Hitler told it. Oh, it has its story. Communism has its story. This is going to be a little bit too in the past for you all, for a good majority of this congregation this morning. But Khrushchev came to the United States of America and made a speech at the United Nations for communism. He took off his shoe. You remember that? Brother Savage? He took off his shoes and beat the pulpit with them, amen, telling the story of communism. I'm going to tell you something, amen. The reason the story will live this morning, amen, is if we tell somebody. We got to tell somebody! Man. My God, that's it. That's why you're alive this morning. That's why you're breathing this morning. That's what you've got, this morning. Amen. So we can tell the story.
Two years ago, at the Republican National Convention, they had a Democrat speak at it. You remember? Huh? From Georgia? By name of Zell Miller? You remember that? My God, did you like that? Woo! Amen. You know what? He got up and he said, Mr. John Kerry. Now, I don't want to get into politics here.
but a mite. Huh? My God, I tell you, my daddy would have voted for Hitler if he'd have run on a Democratic ticket. Amen. That's just how much Democrat he was. You know what Dad said? My dad said, he said, I'm such a Democrat. He said, if I knew I had an ounce of Republican blood in my body, he said, I'd cut my veins and let it run out on the ground. Whew. Amen. I mean, old Dad, he was a long time in dying. He was in a bed fast a long time. But you'd think he's down where he's going to die, couldn't breathe or nothing. And you'd say, Dad, have you heard what the Republicans is doing? He said, what? Amen. He'd come out of that sick bed. I mean, it'd make him so mad. Republicans make him so mad. My God, he'd live. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, have mercy this afternoon. Amen. But you know what they done? Ozell Miller got up there and he said, Mr. Kerry has voted 13 times in a row against the defense systems of the United States of America bills that's been proposed. Amen. To deliver guns and ammunition and bombs to the American armed forces. He said, what, bless God, what does the Democrats want us to do? Throw spit wads at them? Yeah, politics has got its story to tell. Communism has got its story to tell. Christianity, I want to ask you this evening, how are you telling the story? Oh, God, you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, oh, God, Brother Mike, I'm afraid if God would send me to Africa. About to get stirred up here just a little bit now. My God, he can't even get you to go across the street. What are you talking about, Africa? God, he can't get you to go next door. I'm preaching my dream this afternoon on how are you telling a story.
I tell you what I'd like to see. I'd love to see a youth group on Saturday evening at 5:00. One half split up in teams. One go north and one go south. And if you've got a big enough group, go east and west. And I'd like you to see, come to the first door that you come to and take that youth group 3 and 4 at a time and plaster this country with Mazanova Holiness Church. We are telling God's story! My God, how about it? Amen. Lord, 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 the forgotten story. Amen. Needs to be told by us. Oh, God, have mercy. You know why I gained credibility with those people that they granted me $52 million is number one. I gained credibility because I was telling the truth, and you can do the same. And number two, I told it with love and passion. But you know what? We have lost love and passion for Christ. Woo! Listen to me now and hear me while I preach. Amen! Brother Addis, Brother Bill Addis told me, he said, Brother Mike, he said, I went to Indiana. And he said, 5 nights in a row, I preached on Calvary. He said, not one tear was ever shed at the altar. He said, the sixth night on Saturday night, he said, I got up and told about a little dog dying. And he said, everybody in that church was crying. God. Amen. Oh, where is the anointing?
Where have you fell out of love with Jesus? Is this just become a church? Amen. And not a place where you're touched by the Son of God? Amen. I believe with all of my heart. Amen. My God, we need to keep falling in love with Him over and over again. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I tell you what's happened to the church. Amen. The cross is old hat. The church is old hat. Preaching is old hat. Shouting is old hat. Revivals are old hat. Camp meetings are old hat. Because you have not kept the renewing of the Holy Ghost in your life. You come and sit and stare. God. They come to Gypsy Smith, and he was 84 years old when he died. And he said, glory to God. He said, I was born in open field, and the church has tried to put me in a flower pot ever since. He said, I love religion. He said, I just despise theology. He said, I don't know more about theology than a bullfrog does a ping pong paddle. God. Amen. He said, they told me I needed to sing from my diaphragm. He said, I was trying to sing from my heart. Come on here now. Amen. Oh God. They said, Gypsy, what is the secret of your freshness and vigor all the time? And he said, I'll tell you what it is. I have never lost the wonder. Let me tell you something about our churches today. Oh, God have mercy. Do you know why that, and I'm not preaching necessarily against this, but James Dobson is certainly not the best Christian in the world. But do you know why he goes over so well with the American public and why he's going so over so well? In all, he transcends denominations. You know why? He is a psychologist. Huh? Listen to me now. And here's the problem. Our churches, all of our churches, are becoming problem-centered instead of Christ-centered. We brought our problems to church. And after so long a time, you bring all your problems to church. Church becomes problem-centered. And it's just a step, a milly, little, bitty, itty, bitty step from problem-centered to self-centered. And this church becomes about you and your problems instead of you and your Christ. Whew. Oh, God. That's where it's at. And that is why you are so soon, amen, just absolutely burnt out on religion, amen. God, it's not Christ, the Christ of the stars, amen, with it in his hand. It's not the Christ of Calvary that you hear that touches your life and consumes your life. It's your problems. This is a place I come to bring all my problems instead of all of my worship. Woo! Listen to this. I read this evening at old Brother Savage's house after dinner. Debbie did. She brought it in there and I read it. Billy Sunday said, I'm against sin. I'll kick it as long as I can get as long as I got a foot. I'll fight it as long as I've got a fist. And I'll butt it as long as I've got a head. I'll bite it as long as I've got a tooth. And when I'm old and fistless and footless and toothless, I'll gum it till I go to heaven. Glory be to God. Woo!
Hey, my God. Oh, I tell you what. Let me read you this story. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're at. Let's run over here to Mark chapter 6. Let me read you this. And straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he all alone on the land. And he saw them rowing and towing for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And when he went in unto them into the ship, the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed among themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now here you go. Here you go. And here is where we're at. That morning, that very morning, Jesus had fed 5,000 with the loaves and fishes. Five loaves, two fishes. Huh? That night, they got the storm coming. It's sort of like us, you know. That day we're doing great. We're pretty good Christians. The bottom ain't falling out of everything. But that night comes, something different happens. Huh? Storm comes. What happens? They wondered and they were so amazed. And then, like Peter himself told Mark this, he said, for they considered not the miracle in the loaves. Now, what's he talking about? What is he talking about? Now, they made two mistakes right here. Number one, they had already forgotten the miracle. Maybe different up here in Mazanova. But back home, they can yawn while you're doing miracles. I'm experienced man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got to keep telling myself I'm an experienced man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Peter says that they were amazed because that morning, they'd seen the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. What? Can you believe that only that morning they had seen a miracle that was just as great as the one they'd just witnessed? You know what had happened to them? You know what had happened to them? Forgot about it. Oh, God. And number two, and this is the worst thing that has ever happened to the church. They had already got used to it. And that's where we're at this morning. Amen. I asked Gypsy Smith, they said, how come you're in your 80s? How come you're so buoyant? How come you're such alive with your religion? And he said, I've never lost the wonder. I still, God, my God, when I come to church, amen. Woo! Amen. Amen. I realize I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for the miracle. My God, we're like that this afternoon. Amen. We have a certain forget him, amen. And we get used to him. Like that old guy, he couldn't keep cats in his meal. Man is eating his corn up. The rats was eating his corn up. And he couldn't keep a cat in there to eat the rats. It was so loud, that old meal grinding so loud. So he went over to the farmer, and farmer's cat was getting ready to have kittens. He said, as soon as those kittens is born, he said, I want two of them. And they were born. Farmer took those two cats over at his meal, and he raised them right there at the meal. With all that grinding and all that loud noise and all that going on, them little old baby cats would just sleep right through it all. And we're just like that we're just like them old cats. Amen. We've got used to the meal. We've got used to the music. We've got used to the church. We've got used to the pastor. And there ain't hardly anything can move us anymore in the house of God. My God, there's no two worser things than forgetting the miracles. Forgetting the miracles and getting used to church and what it's going on. started out having church. When I started my church, I had 25 little old boys. And I can't run like I used to. My knees is so bad. I don't know if they're full of hunky-chunky or something. Amen. But they don't want to run no more. Well, I'll tell you what. I had 25 little old boys. And I wouldn't preach very long. I streaked down the aisle and around the church. And you could look for it for every night. It was 25 kids running around that church. And they run. I run them when they were 14. I run them when it was 15. I run them when they was 20. I run them when they was 21. I run them when they was 22. We kept running when they got married. And tonight, you know what's going on in my church? Those boys are still running. Oh, somebody said, my kid's running around the church. What are we going to do, honey? You think, what's the people going to think? I tell you what, the people won't think nothing. If they're backsliding and sitting on the back pew and passing notes and spit-wadding doing their homework. Huh? Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God, you let them break out. And you let them run around the church. And you let them get in and worship God. And I'll tell you something. They'll not forget the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And the old church will not get so old hat to them that they can't worship. Stand to your feet. Oh, Vance Havner said, everything in our churches anymore is planned, organized, supervised, programmed, correlated, and regulated. He said, we've left the worldly rat race and joined a religious one. He said, nothing under the sun can be as monotonous as religion or as exhausting as religion and work without the wonder. He said, we dread going to church. We refuse to join the choir. We'd rather sit and snare. We're bored by the preaching. We sleep through the teaching. Once we stood amazed at Jesus, and now we sit amused. Once we were edified, now we want to be entertained. Once we wanted to be a part, and now all we want to do is come apart. God have mercy. That is a religion. It's just got old hat. And that's why we refused to tell the story. Oh, Lord. I wish to God. You want me to tell you all the will of God for this church? Is that all right, preacher? I'll stay in the Bible. I won't tell you I had another dream, and this is what I dreamed about this church. But here's the will of God for this church. God wants it full. Yeah. Will of God for this church. I don't care how big you build one, just fill it up. God wants a full house. In Luke chapter 14, he said, go out into the highways and the hedges, the byways, and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Come on here now. That's a will of God for this church. And I tell you what, it'd be so much better if our choirs would knock on these doors. I don't care, you know. My God, I'm not upset if you don't cross every I and every T, dot every I and cross every T when the choirs are singing. That right there, all they need to do anyway is just get anointed. Huh? Huh? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But it'd be so much better if we was doing the will of God and we was filling these church houses up to the full that my house made me feel. That's the will of God for this church. And you spent quite a few dollars. My God, I got my work cut out for me too. I had a young preacher to split my church. And all of them that he took off, now I've got to put them back. Praise God. It may take me the rest of my life to do it, but I'm going to have the time of my life of doing it. Because I'm going to get out and I'm going to tell his story. I want to live. I beg God. Oh, Brother Wayne Ray was dying. And he laid down on his bed. He had all of his medicine on his table beside his bed. And Brother Ray got up off of his bed and took it and flushed it all down the commode. And he went back and he laid down in bed to die.
Note, he had just a few short, maybe hour and a half, maybe 30 minutes to live. He laid down on his bed and he said, God, he said, this is what I regret in my life. He said, I have no sheaves to bring him. He got nobody. Have one to God. Oh, I wish we had it in our hearts like the early church when they got the Holy Ghost. God, they got out and told the story. You couldn't keep them down. They went everywhere telling the story. Oh, what if you would die this afternoon after this church service? How many sheaves do you have to show the good Lord when you get there? Well, good Lord, I thought you wanted me to just try to make it to church on Sunday. I try to go both services, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But, Lord, well, Lord, Wednesday night I was so busy I couldn't come, you know, Lord. And then when I did come, I was 30 to 40 minutes late, Lord. But I do love you, and I love your work, and I thank you for bleeding for me and dying for me. But I just ain't got no time. A lot of you that's got money, you don't mind to give money as long as you don't have to spend 1 minute humbling yourself, knocking on some sinner's door, and saying, I wish you'd come to the house of God. Come on now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, how powerful this came to my soul. God, I doubt if I'll ever have another dream like you give me. But I've preached it to these people. Lord, I'd like to multiply the story. Some heart would see this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to get out and spread the story. In the name of Jesus, touch every heart. Save that one nearest hell. Give us a revival tonight. This wonderful man of God comes to preach for us. Anoint him. Make him ministers of flaming fire. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's come tonight, this afternoon, and pray.